It's time to take a look at nutritional matters, and we talk to Anetsi with today's Nutrition Chat. Anetsi, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Wayne.
And we're talking about starches and carbohydrates.
Yes, I thought carbohydrates, it's such a broad group. Uh-huh. And if you look at, like we talk about, you know, carbs is like everywhere, and it's like a big buzzword, but what really is carbs all about? And if we look at it, it's basically sort of, we've got three types, if you have to look at the group. So we've got starches that we know as the complex ones, and then sugars. So if you read the label, you'll see everything about sugars on there, which is part of, is also a carbohydrate. And then we've got fiber that's also part of this group. So people will hear terms, for instance, if you, especially if you read a label or maybe listen to an ad, you'll hear something like, on a box that you see in the supermarket, you might see things like naturally occurring sugars, or there might be added sugar, or you'll see words like low calorie, sweetness, sugar alcohols, processed grains, enriched grains, complex carbs, refined grains, whole grains. So all of this is what you see on labels. And I think it's so confusing really to people, like what does all of this mean to us? So if we look at a starch, it basically includes foods like peas, corns, beans, potatoes. And then we can also move to the dry bean family, and the legume family, like your lentils, your peas, your split peas, all of those contain quite a decent amount of starch. And then grains that we maybe use on a daily basis more often, things like oats, rice, wheat flakes, maybe something like rye or barley. Mm. So this is basically all within the starch group on its own. And then if you look at the grain group, in other words, your oats, your barley, your wheat, the rice, they basically can be broken down into three different parts. So it's almost like if you look at a wheat kernel, on the outside you've got the bran. Mm-hmm. And so the outer part of this grain then consists of the majority of your fiber. This is also really where we get all our B vitamins, all the minerals, is in that outer part of the wheat or the oat or whatever. And then inside you will get the germs. The next layer would be the germ, which there we get our essential fatty acids. That's where we get vitamin E. And then the endosperm is the little bit on the inside. That's really the soft center part of the grain where the majority of the starch lie. So if you understand this, then you realize that's why we want to eat whole grains. Because if you eat whole grains, it means that you get all the vitamins, all the minerals, and all the starch. You really get the everything that this specific starch can offer you. And we would also see that generally these ones, if we have to go back to glycemic index, they would generally be your starches that would be a lower glycemic index. In other words, your body digests the release of the glucose from that starch is a little bit slower. So our insulin response is a little bit better. So we are kinder to the pancreas if we consume the lower GI sort of carbohydrates. And then if we have a look really what the refined would be, it's really that they only use the inside of the, so the endosperm. And that's, so it means we really miss all the other nutrients if we eat something like white flour is a good example. So it would be the inside only that they use to make the flour. And then obviously everything that you then manufacture from that would also be classified as a refined carbohydrate, because we only have the inside part, and then we miss all the good stuff that we really can get from something like a whole wheat flour. So that's sort of what it really means if we have a look at complex versus refined in the starch group. And that's sort of why we always focus and tell people, try to go for something that's whole grain, because we want those B vitamins.
Right.
And then the second thing, if we have a look at sugar, and then so we get natural occurring sugars and then obviously added sugars. So something like fruit, naturally contains fructose, something like milk naturally contains lactose. So that is the natural occurring sugar that is within those, the dairy and the fruit. And then obviously we get added sugars that's generally from cane sugar, where people create a syrup to put something in a tin or to preserve something. So then other names that they use for these sugars on labels would be things like table sugar, brown sugar, maybe molasses, cane sugar, powdered sugar, raw sugar, maple syrup, fructose, corn syrup, cane syrup. So all of this would then be added sugar that's been added to a specific product. So then all of these things, you will basically make up the carbohydrate component of anything that's been manufactured.
Okay.
And then the last part of the starch really is the fiber part. So that naturally, obviously, we don't expect fiber to come from milk or egg or meat or poultry or fish. We really, it would be plant-based foods, and generally where you can eat the skin and the seed of, so fruit is a very good example. If you think of apple, a pear, the berry family, and then obviously all the vegetables, something where you can eat the skin and the seeds and everything all together. And generally it's the indigestible part of the plant. So it really means that it passes through our intestines, not really digested, but the fiber really contributes to our digestive health. So, and also it helps to keep us full and satisfied after a meal. And those fibers generally also have the ability to absorb some of the bad cholesterol molecules, and it gets excreted from the body. So that's why something like soluble fiber or insoluble fiber would be beneficial in bringing your cholesterol down. So that's would be the fibers. And then what is good fiber sources for us? So as individuals, we aim at least 20 to 30 grams of fiber a day. I think sometimes it can be quite difficult. So you have to make a point to actually maybe look at what you are eating in a day and actually counting the grams of fibers and see whether you can actually get to 20 or 30 grams of fiber in a day. So good sources, again, the legume family is an amazing source of protein, complex carbohydrates, fiber. So things like your black beans, your kidney beans, chickpeas, any of the lentil family, really, really good. And then obviously fruits and vegetables. So any fruit and vegetable where you can eat it fresh, with skin, if it's a fruit, the berry family with the pips and the seeds, it's all fine if it's edible. And then if you whole grain breads, and then also cereals. I'm just thinking if you are in the shop, things like you'll get a fiber bran or a wheat bran or an oat bran or oats. That's really what we want to aim for. And generally when it comes to whole wheat cereals, they are quite good on the label to show how much fiber is in a serving. So if we think of a serving, we want to have about 2.5 to 5 grams of fiber in a serving. And I always think if you battle with fiber content in your diet, maybe you battle with constipation because you have more refined carbohydrates and not complex carbohydrates, a very easy way is to actually buy one of these fiber cereals, because the average high fiber bran has got about 11 grams of fiber in one serving, like 40 grams of cereal. So then you are a third into your day already with fiber. So it's a really, really good kickstart. If you are the person that really battles with fiber, that's a very good idea to actually maybe eat that instead of anything else for breakfast, because then at least you've got that 11 grams of fiber. And also, if very important, if you are somebody that's maybe not used to eating fresh fruit and vegetables or whole grains, and you want to now start doing this, maybe you've you decide I'm going to start with something like a fiber cereal. Very important to drink enough water, or maybe if you battle with water during winter, something like black teas or herbal teas, just to actually also make sure that there's enough fluid to help digest all of the fiber that you are consuming.
Right.
And and it's always better to obviously eat food instead of taking fiber supplements for general gut health.
So just talking about fiber for a moment, it's basically the broom that sweeps your system, and then but you need you need to wash afterwards.
Yes. And also some of those fibers also feed all the good bacteria in your gut. So if we sort of in the villi, there's natural occurring good bacteria that we have to maintain, and certain fibers then fuel these good bacteria, and it actually keeps our gut healthy. And if you look at gut health, actually 80% of our immunity comes from our gut. So if we have a healthy gut, the chances that you will be a healthier person is really what it means at the end.
And Anitzi, just getting back to the starches, you know, you're mentioning the links between starches and then, you know, sort of the sugars, where that's obviously people, let's say with diabetes, needs to be very careful of starchy things because that triggers the sugars as well. You know, there's the link that you demonstrated between those.
Yes, so if we have a look at a carbohydrate, when the carb enters the body, basically it triggers your pancreas to release insulin, because it's insulin that helps to break down that carbohydrate, release the energy into the system. But so because of the fact that with, it all depends whether you're a type 1 or 2 diabetic, but if we look at so every single carbohydrate has got a characteristic of how quickly it can be digested and what demand it puts on the body in terms of the amount of insulin that needs to be released so that I can keep my blood glucose level between 3 and 5. So naturally speaking, it doesn't really matter what you eat. If you are a healthy individual, if I take your blood glucose rapidly, it should be between anything between 3 and 5. But your pancreas produces insulin to regulate that number. So overproduction of insulin over a long period of time is not necessarily a good thing for us. So therefore, when I choose a carbohydrate, I actually decide how much pressure do I put on my pancreas to produce insulin. So if I have the refined ones and I eat so there's two things, the type and then the load. So if I have a lot of refined carbohydrates in a short amount of time, puts a lot of pressure on my pancreas to release the glucose, to control insulin, to control that glucose level. And therefore, for a diabetic, if there's not enough free-flowing insulin, obviously glucose levels naturally will go up, because there's not the ability to actually bring the glucose levels down. Right, so therefore, if we choose the right carbohydrate, we can then actually also, if I'm a diabetic, that's how I can control my glucose level. So if I choose a complex one where the release of the carb is slower, it means that I need less insulin to control my blood glucose levels. And therefore, then generally it's quite a successful way of handling it. And then the second thing that goes with that is the amount that you have at one go. So for a diabetic, carbs is not a no-no. It's definitely something that you can have, but we will look at definitely a complex type with a low GI, and we will monitor the amount that are consumed in a portion. So we would rather spread it out during the day than to have one big amount at a time.
Right.
And that's sort of how we can then relatively easily actually regulate blood glucose levels when it comes to a diabetic. Because if you have anything between 5 and 7 rapidly, if we test it, great. And then obviously, generally long-term, we use a blood value, which is HbA1c. That shows us what was your average blood glucose levels over 3 months. And if we get a good number there, then we would say you are a well-controlled diabetic. Then we don't really have to, well, you don't have to stress about long-term, necessarily long-term complications, like microvascular damages. If we have a good HbA1c, we get to maintain a good value, then that's really what we aim for.
You mentioned there, you know, that you spread your meals so that you don't spark, because that also obviously is not a good thing.
Yes. Because obviously, if there's fluctuation in blood glucose levels, generally diabetics, they don't feel well. They'll be tired and lethargic, and so it really makes your daily life difficult. Like it'd be hard to work, hard to exercise. You won't really feel like doing things. So, very important actually to make sure that and even if you're a normal individual, if you are hungry, I mean, it's hard to focus. The only thing that you can think of is that food that you need to to feel better. And it's because your blood glucose levels obviously drop a little bit lower, and then you cannot really function and focus like you're supposed to.
And I suppose, you know, linked to chats that we've actually had before, the same is for kids at school, you know, with snacks and school lunches and good breakfasts and all the things that go with it there.
Yeah, important for kids that's growing to have small regular meals, and obviously also good quality stuff. Like there's nothing wrong with oats and a brown sandwich with peanut butter and a fruit to school, you know. And maybe something else like a little piece of meat or whatever. Small regular meals to obviously get the energy level going and help them to be focused, and also not refined sugars, because obviously, again, that's not good for your insulin response. Right, it doesn't really matter what age, but
No, that's true. Yeah. That's true. And Netsi, if somebody wants to reach you and maybe find out more about our chats and your services, how do they get in touch?
They're more than welcome to contact me on 084-609-3989, or they can find me on Instagram at Unetsi.
Great, Unetsi. Thank you very much. Have a great week.
Thank you so much, Wayne.
Cheerio then. Thanks. Bye-bye.